Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Open your Bible and let's go to class with Dr. Murray for a better understanding of our Father's Word.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Only this Bible study hour is going to be kind of a visiting hour. Current events of 1992, about to get there, but I just want to talk to you all a little bit about the past year. I want to help you remember what a different world we live in than we did this time last year. So very many things have changed. We have seen the Baltic states strike out and at this so far be successful in gaining their independence. And surprisingly, or perhaps not so surprisingly, we also see the Soviet itself broken asunder and a commonwealth put in its place. We see a considerable amount of fighting in the land of Georgia, that is to say, in the Soviet Union, the Russias. And what will transpire there? Well, it's probably in power there in Georgia, one of the only presidents that will not align with the Commonwealth or give the people their freedom, so to speak. So the people will take it, no doubt. But Russia itself at this time, what a change. What a change. And Mikhail Gorbachev, who probably more than any individual in, I will say, this century has changed. Well, century would be a little in this score, let's say, has had more effect on the world in changing those countries who were under that iron boot, that Poland, East Germany, on and on the list goes, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, on and on the list goes, that people have brushed aside, in part, the influence of slavery, of being trapped in that camp called the Brotherhood, so to speak, but being far from a brotherhood, being basically a dictatorship. What a difference a day makes, even. That's how prophecy changes, even at this time. And we have observed so much prophecy come to pass. And with these thoughts in mind, we see ourselves in a recession. And perhaps we can get to the bottom of part of it. You see, beloved, we're going into a new one-world system. Do not worry, there will be no crash or depression to the point that money will become valueless or anything like that, as many have feared for ever so long. Because those that prop up, support, and control monies, example, the Federal Reserve System. It is not a part, though it's called federal, it has nothing to do with our government. Our government has no control over it, more or less, basically none whatsoever. We can plead with, our president can plead with them. He could even appoint a chairman occasionally. But he has no say whatsoever, nor does any other part of our government, in the actions of the Federal Reserve System. Quite frankly, it is privately owned. Some of you basically probably know. Some of the individuals that do own it. I cannot say that I do, nor do I need to. I simply know who owns it. So, we must come to worldwide to have a workable solution. Even as Russia itself goes into a democracy and switches its currencies to basically a capitalist-type existence. Everything must even out whereby people are living on the same scale. Therefore, we have seen, if you would, this flow taking place over the last 10 years, the economies and so forth. There's a reason for it. Now, we'll leave that there for a moment, and I want to say that some would call this a gloomy sign. It isn't. It's a beautiful sign. What a time to live. In this generation spoken of by Jesus Christ in more places than one, even as he hung on the cross in Psalms 22, the last two verses of that great Psalms 22 are set aside for this generation. I'm just going to turn there real quickly, and I'm going to read it to you. And you're a part of it. Even the prophets wanted to live at this time. A seed, I'm reading from Psalms 22, verse 30. A seed shall serve him. Do you? Do you serve him? I tell you this, people are coming out of confusion. This past year, in this ministry alone, we've had more growth than we've ever had before in one single year. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this, that it is finished. That what is finished? That this particular earth age is finished as we move into the millennium age. You are fortunate enough that you are living in that time. And as we see the years move towards that 2,000th year after Christ, how many were there before that? About 4,000 and 2,000 is 6,000. We have a millennium age coming, which is another 1,000. That means in the seventh time period or time frame, making 7,000 years. And some might say, well, where's your scripture for that? Well, it's real simple. 2 Peter chapter 3, along with verse 6 or 7. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that 1,000 years with a man is as one day with the Lord. As he sits in the eternity, this time period has been as a week. And we see, now I did not mention the world that was in that statement. Be that as it may, I'm concerned with the events that Christ thought of you, that he set aside a generation that would serve him. We have, in this past year, doubled our household viewership. By that I mean, that does not mean that all the homes we're in view this program. Quite the contrary. A very small part of the homes that we go into view this program compared to the number. We are in over 80 million homes at this time. 40 million of those have been added this past year. Who has done this? Those that serve him. You. You that participate. I know that some of you are in bad straits now, but I know that God is going to bless you. I know that you serve him. We are moving into a time when those that participate in things of peace, such as food, all things that add to and abate social existence and comfort, you're in a good place. So thank God for it, though I know it's been hard as the military type organizations and builders thereof, equipment, have had it very well. Well, sometimes those things will take a gradual turn, and this is that time. But many of you that serve him, that come out, I know that for everyone that supports or writes to this ministry, that 1,000 listen. So I know that there are many thousands of you that have never helped. And that's fine. That's your lot, and you stay in it if you are comfortable there. But this message is to those that have, to let you know what you have done and how God has blessed it. That our growth is a thing that certainly you can be proud of. And you have done it. You have taken this small church in Northwest Arkansas and assembled yourselves around it. by being a hearer and a doer. Those are the people that God loves, and God will always take care of those people. I know there are times that some might say, well, I wish he would begin. He has, and he always will. All things work to the good for those that love the Lord. And sometimes it's a little difficult to see or to see that good in coming. God blesses his people. So I'm complimenting you. I love you all that enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. We're one of the, if not the only ministry on national television and shortwave around the world that are successful in teaching God's Word, not man's, with very little added other than perhaps from the pastor or teacher, explanations of idioms, figures of speech, metaphors, and with the explanation of idioms, bringing a clearer understanding, making that word jump to life on those pages of the written word. So you have done it. You have made that possible, for certainly there is no way that this little church in Northwest Arkansas, in the wilderness of the Ozarks, could have grown to the point that it is. Am I trying to draw attention to the church? No. This church is under the wing of the eagle, and it will be protected there regardless of what happens. And we thank our Father for his blessed presence. And we thank him for you, his children that have made this work, that are doers, not just hearers, but doers. You're a real special people. You deserve a pat on the back because you do not have to be harangued, or you don't have to be begged or beat to know how valuable God's words are, how meaningful they are. You know, we have a file of all miracles that happen, and I call even someone, an entire family coming off drugs, a miracle. I kind of wish in some ways, except it would look like I was bragging, and also it would probably turn this ministry into a healing and miracle ministry, or some would think it would, that just simply being able to teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse perhaps is a miracle within itself, that it is supported with growth when many others have to draw back and fail. God's Word is that feeds the famine of the end times. Amos chapter 8 will clarify that for you. It is not a famine necessarily of food, but for hearing the Word of God. And you, my dear one, are a hearer and a doer that makes that possible, that actually has a place in history declared by Christ himself, a generation, a special generation, the generation that would be present in the year or following the year 1948 as God brought to pass the seven events that consummate the end of this age. If you are a new viewer, put that on the shelf and order a tape called The Seven Trumpets, Seven Seals, and see the parallel as it is given in Mark 13 and Matthew 24. Our Father's Word is so loving and so complete. It takes away the fear. But if I were to have brought that file and just dumped them loose on top of this desk, it probably would not hold them. Of people that the Word itself, as it goes into them, as they eat it, sometimes it may be honey in their mouth, but then bitter in their tummy, for if they are hooked on whatever, drugs and so forth, it expels it from them and gives them the power and the strength to stand up and act like a man, woman, or child of the living God. A vessel that God has chosen to fill with the good news, a vessel that carries that succulent truth that feeds the mind buds or the buds of the mind of those that are starving for a direction, for a way, those that are starving for a foundation, something that they can stand on that does not shake. Well, you're making that possible for them. You see, you are a part of you that are doers in this ministry that have supported it, that have not had to be begged or harangued. There is one thing that this network will not allow is a telephone. I do not believe in telephones. If your ministry will not support itself on its own merit, it is not of God. You want me to say that again? That's a bold statement. If your ministry will not support itself for the taught word, it is not a work of God. It's a work of man, and will most usually have a man's name connected with it, rather than being identified with its name, the work of God. You're a part of it, and how fantastic that you could be alive in this generation to take a part and to receive the blessings of God and all the reward for having done that in the eternity is a real special reward. I'm so happy for you that you are successful in the house of God, that you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And as you old-timers well know, hey, it's not the first time that this was accomplished. It happened somewhere long, long ago at Satan's rebellion, that this same group of people were doers and became the chosen before the foundation of this earth age, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. What a special group. I feel honored that I can call myself brother to you that are doing this. You're real special people. Now, well, does that mean Pastor Murray is really going to puff us up like a big balloon? Don't worry. After the coming year's coming, and I'll get a pen out and let the air out of you, and we'll all get back down to normal size and get our Father's work done. But one day a year, as well, that I pat you on the back, give you a big spiritual hug, and let you know that I love you for what you have done. That you have, in this year of 91, you have taken His word around the world, and you continue supporting it, whereby it will go around the world. You have increased the households via television in this great nation, America, as well as Canada, in May and November, I think it was. No, December or November. Which was it? Hawaii. You know, a new transponder that just beams right into Hawaii. How fantastic the miracles of the scientific community as communication becomes such a simple thing. That we have way stations in space that bounce the word of God from them, and it covers the earth as water. Every square foot of the United States and Canada and down into Central America, this ministry's message hits every square foot of this hemisphere from that great new brilliant star in the sky, old Westar 4 Transponder 6 satellite, Galaxy 6, Transponder 6, by the new name that it was changed, and we'll switch to that name no doubt someday, full-time in your guides and so forth. But be that as it may, that miracle that anyone that has a greater hunger for the Word can acquire a dish and receive the teaching 24 hours a day at your own convenience and pleasure off that great satellite and unscrambled. God's Word, I feel in my heart, in the 40 years that I have taught His Word, it should not be copyrighted. Therefore, if you tape these messages, you are in good standing with God to share them with others. And many, many do, especially people with satellites. Tape videotapes of the teaching and share them with people that do not have dishes in areas where it cannot be received by cable. God bless you for that. I know He does bless you for that. That it makes you a seed planter. And you are that servant that God has chosen to feed that little part that you do. And you add them all together, and it's fantastic. What a ministry that our Father has put together. Well, is it the ministry of Arnold Murray? No, it's the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's the ministry of our Father, Yahweh, the living God, the creator of all things. No man can claim titleship to the work of the living God. His truth sets people free. Free from what? From the anxiety of this world. There's no need to be depressed. It is written that so many become depressed around the holidays. Well, you need not, for you have a great deal to remove depression, to take delight that God's Word is healthy, alive, and that it lives, that it heals, that it throws off drugs, that it gives men, women, and children a purpose and a foundation, that they can be an example in their community spiritually. You don't have to yak it and preach it. You are an example when you walk through a room, when you stand on the foundation of the Word, for you are sure of yourself because you are sure of your God. And there is strength to broadcast from your very soul as you walk through a room, and people need strength and they absorb it. And they know that one of God's children, they may not know, but they know that someone had something they would like to have that walked through that room. And it's His Word, His truth. I thank God in this starving world for truth that God has given us the tools to work with that He has. I thank Him for the trained technicians that He has provided for us. I thank Him for the crew that is able to take that you give and turn it into time purchased and equipment that is able to not only take the living Word of now, but to produce documentaries that give the ancient sayings, the rocks speak from the travels and the migrations of God's children, not only in this generation, but for many generations past. I thank Him for that, and naturally, I have to thank you also, because you are the one that makes it possible, because you're a doer. Oh, how I love a doer. We live in an age where people talk a lot and listen a lot, but oh, a doer. Somebody that doesn't just listen, but gets up and does something about it. Oh, you're a champion. You're a champion of our people, and yes, you deserve a pat on the back. A doer, a child of the living God. How precious you are. Do you make a difference? You make all the difference. And your Father loves you because you have already made a difference. So I thank my Father for each of you. As this 1991 comes to a close, I really appreciate each and every one of you, you doers, that have taken this Word, that have filled this desk full of miracles. I mean miracles like people being diagnosed for certain cancerous things, and then when they go in 1-2 weeks, and then 2 weeks later when they go in for surgery, there's nothing there. And the medical community is shocked. Well, how can you make a statement? Hey, I've got the proof, friend, or I wouldn't make the statement. Of families, whole families on drugs. Not that I can even relate to that. I can't relate to parents that would allow their children to get on drugs, but be that as it may, it happens. Whole families even moving from one area to another to cleanse themselves of an environment that is bad. And starting a new life, a clean life, a wonderful life. You brought that to pass because you're a doer. You're a doer of God's Word. And oh, how I love you for that. And if I were to take that stack of miracles and allow the love from them to pour to you for having done it, I doubt if you could stand it. It would be overpowering. So, 1991 has been a fantastic year, and I can promise you 1992 will be far better. For God's elect, it gets better and better and better as we march on toward the close of this particular dispensation. I cannot let this time go by without at least, in as much as some might say, well, if the Soviet Union is no more, how can Bible prophecy? I thought you said that Russia would attack the other countries. Well, it will. It shall. But, beloved, even the change of the country is more fitting to prophecy than the Soviet Union. I speak of Russia, for the name will return to Russia. And our Father's Word has very clearly stated, and it is written, that it is Russia that shall attack. Yes, right in the good old King James had the translators, and if you have one of our original copies, which we keep for this very purpose, in a letter they warn you to get into the languages a little bit. So, with that thought in mind, and I feel that I have adequately thanked you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, but I don't want to do too much of that. I might spoil you. And sometimes if you spoil somebody, they stop being a doer. So I'll get the two before back out again, and I'll encourage you to get back in the harness. We'll do all right in 92. But so that for those that might think that Russia will fall apart, forget it. It won't. It is the land of Esau promised by Almighty God in prophecy all the way back to Genesis chapter 25, when conceived in a womb, both Jacob and Esau struggling, those two, not babies, but nations. That struggle shall continue. You can read it for yourself in Genesis 25. But the two Armageddon chapters, which is Ezekiel 38 and 39, do not fret. They shall come to pass exactly as they're written. Listen to me. I'm going to go to chapter 38 in this great book of Ezekiel. And I may just go straight through without even a break here. I may take a break here in 10 minutes or so. This is an hour I want to spend with you. This 38th chapter and the 39th let you know what next year or the year after or whatever year headlines will be. This is how it's going to happen when Russia attacks Israel. Now, you must remember there are two houses at this time because the stick was broken, and on one is written Israel and the other Judah. The 10 tribes went north over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, many of them later coming to this hemisphere in Canada, America, and dispersing up and down through the hemisphere. America being the superpower of superpowers of the free world is no accident. God protects His own. Those that care, those that would even fight to allow people to have those freedoms that are so dear. Certain men cannot live without that freedom. That's one of the things you're going to see in Russia. Those people have had a taste of that freedom and they love it. I do not believe they will go back in the bottle, for they are the children of Esau. With others mixed in, yes, definitely, but that's okay. It is written in Genesis 28 through 27 that Esau would be moved away from the fat of the land. That's what the Hebrew manuscripts say. I know that the English is a little confused. The Hebrew manuscripts state that he will not live off the fat of the land. And most of that nation is north of our border with Canada. They do not have the productive crop-producing soil that we have in this hemisphere, both in Canada, the Americas, and so forth. And that's not an accident, nor is it an accident that we are so successful. It is the Word of God that stated long ago on whom the blessings would fall. So, with that thought in mind, I want to get into both of these chapters just a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 38. Now listen to it carefully. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. What does it mean, prophesy against him? Take the word of God and preacher, teacher, prophet Ezekiel that he was, teach them and say, in the negative sense, against Meshech. Now, what is this chief prince? I hope that you will look that up in your Strong's Concordance. I believe the Strong's will back that up. And you will find, if you are fortunate enough to have one of the older Strong's, that you will find that this word was Rosh, R-O-S-H. The Rosh, the chief prince of Meshech. As a matter of fact, the word chief should be translated R-O-S-H. Now, Rosh was a people and a country that, by the Volga, that it was later become Rush, R-U-S-S, and today are called Russia. No different. Same people, same location. And some might say, well, I looked in my old Bible and it said right there that the land of Edom was here just, you know, off from the Red Sea there ways and so forth. Well, so was the land of Israel. But Israel migrated through the years to cover the whole world, and the scripture after scripture declares that that God's children would be scattered over the whole world, and so they are, all the way to Russia and all the way to the Americas, this hemisphere, as well as Europe. So don't be one of these that cares to think. Don't think small when you deal with God's plan. So this same Meshech, Rush, you are supposed to teach against it. Well, does that mean that we're to hate the people? No, not at all. But their father sold their birthright. Well, what does that have to do with the children? Well, unfortunately, they continue to follow his ways, basically. As a matter of fact, some of them are so hungry for Christ, and God loved the people, but all the systems they become involved with and have from day one. No, what will they do then? What will this Rush or Rush do? Verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee. Why would God be against them? Well, why wouldn't he be against the system that has crumbled in part? But don't worry, it hasn't crumbled all the way, nor will it. God is against it because they were refused, basically, the right to worship the living God. They were atheistic communist. The chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, God's against it. And hey, do you want to document that? Do you want to prove it out? It's real easy to document that God's against it. They're not blessed. You are. That's the difference. And that's your proof. Well, I'm going to take a little break here, and I'll be right back, and we'll pick up with this thought. Hang on just a moment, won't you, please? All right, there we are back again. Say, let's get right back into this thought. Let's pick it up again, if we may. That Rush, though it was called the Soviet Union, when it drops that name now and goes back into the name Russia, or the Russias, is more biblical than the Soviet Union was in the first place. So it is aligning very much with God's word. Well, have they fallen apart? No, they're commonwealth. At least that's what they're calling themselves. Stand by. God said, I'm against them. Against the system, basically, that they will strike. How can I be so sure of that? Listen on. Let's pick it up back with verse 4, 38 of Ezekiel. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, all of them people of war. It has been quite nice to see the events, the prophecies transpire, but really what you've got is the entire Russian Navy and Army running around like a loose cannon on deck with no general to command. That can be a very serious, serious situation. But who is their confederates? Verse 5. Persia, that's Iran, borders them. Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. You see the allies that always seem to be buddy-buddy. Can't help it. You know why? It's prophecy. Gomer, verse 6. Gomer and his bands, the house of Togomor, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with him. These are not Christian nations, and don't you ever dare to call Germany Gomer in front of me, because you show your ignorance. Germany is not Gomer. Germany is a Christian nation. I speak as to the people. There are many Christians in all these nations, but the systems... Do you understand that the Constitution of the United States of America was basically taken from this Word of God? Do you think that's an accident? Do you think it just happened? Our forefathers came here looking for freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, freedom to protect their families, and we've got it, and we're not turning loose of it. It's a blessed thing to have. Where these countries, the systems, do not allow this. We're not built on it or from it. Verse 7, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee. All you old buddy-buddies. And be thou a guard unto them. This includes Red China. Buddy-buddies. The men of the east, they are called. Verse 8, and many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, at the end time, in other words. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, where I have scattered those children, those 10 tribes, America, Canada, Europe, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth. In 200 years, this great nation, America, has moved from a wilderness to the leader of the free world, the most powerful, the richest nation in the world. That mainly due to the thanks to our allies, our neighbors, out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Are you uptight? You know, I made a tape many years ago called No Nuclear Holocaust. There's not going to be one. Even back when they were instructing people to build bomb shelters. Hey, don't sweat it. There will never be a nuclear holocaust. Why? It's not written in God's Word. And we do dwell safely here. And I know there would be many. I can see the letters now. Well, you can't dwell safely in my town. In Dallas, there were 500 homicides this year, 1991. Yes, there were. But as far as safety from the oppressor, an enemy army, if you allow filth to move into your neighborhood, you're going to live with filth. if you allow murderers to go without exercising capital punishment, murderers and homicides shall increase. But if you'll take the turkeys and publicly execute them, murderers and homicides will drop tremendously. We break God's law. And then you'll have these Bible thumpers that are so ignorant of what the Word says, yet they hold it so close in their hand, and they march at penitentiary saying, "You can't take his life," when God's Word says, "Burn him." I know there are many that say, "Well, where does it say that?" Deuteronomy 19. Haven't you ever read it? God said, "Others will see, and these things will cease happening among you." Okay, be that as it may. Dwell safely from any nuclear holocaust or any other army. We have sent troops to many places, but outside of squabbling a brother against brother in the Civil War, we've never had too many battles that were all that serious, even from our motherland. And I won't go into that, all right? Verse 9. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee, along with the men of the east, the communist Red China. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of the unwalled villages. America has never had walled villages since the old days of the fort. You go into many countries and you're going to have walled villages. Why? It's not safe. I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling, and that dwell safely, rather, and them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. In other words, they're disarmed because of one worldism, basically. To take a spoil and to take a prey. And it goes on and it tells of his plan and how that they shall attack. How that they shall come against those that seemingly have no hope, have no help. I'm going to drop on down at least as far as the 18th verse. We're going to go all the way to the 18th verse. They'll catch up with me. I'm going to continue reading. And it shall come to pass at the same time when God shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. That's God's anger. So will Rush stay together? Absolutely. Even stay together enough that they shall still attack. After the reign of Antichrist, on the last day, they shall come against this nation and other free nations. Verse 19, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, and there shall be also, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Why? He's coming. Christ is returning. And the mountains shall be thrown down. That means nations. Mountains symbolize nations. And the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. There will not be one stone left standing atop another on Mount Zion at the time that Antichrist resides there, when the true Christ returns. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, nations, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, mankind against mankind, truth against lies, the sword of the mouth against the sword of the mouth of Satan, the lies. And I will plead against him in the with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. Do you understand what he's talking about? They don't think there is a God. They're going to find out that day there is very much a God. And because they haven't received him, their own father, he's going to chastise them with hailstones that weigh 180 pounds apiece. How do you think they'll make out, Flynn? And I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. They shall know that God does exist. They shall know that this word is true. Do we have anything to worry about this? Disarmament? Will we have someone to fight all this? Will we have an army that can defend us? Let's continue right on in chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog. Not nicely. Prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech. That's Rush, or Russia. And Tubal, your band's with you. And I, did it say the United States Army and the Army of Canada joined together as an attack shall come through Alaska? We purchased Alaska biblically for a burial ground for Rush, those that shall come against us. Some are going to say, document that. I won't. But if you don't believe it now, believe it when you see it come to pass. There are some things that are given to us from the Father that we should not teach other than to say, believe it when you see it, friend. And I, not the army of America or Canada, Almighty God will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. That's the army that attacks. You know why he leaves the sick? So they can run home and say, there is a God. They're all going to turn into preachers overnight. Talk about battlefield conversion. They're going home and they're going to say, believe me, there is a God. I saw him and he is mad. And will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. From the north where? Why? Because they live in the north. That's why Edom, Rush is there. And I, not the army of the United States of America or NATO, but I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. It doesn't matter what kind of weapons they have. Our army shall not touch them. God himself shall do it so that they know there is a God. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel. Thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort and the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field. They're never going to make it to one city. They're not going to harm one city. That's why I can say without any problems that this nation, this hemisphere shall never be harmed because they will not reach one town. God will destroy them at the border. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's the whole purpose, beloved. God wants his children to know him. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Those that don't even claim to be Christians are going to know that he is God. Behold, it is come, it is done, saith the Lord. This is the day whereof I have spoken. It's going to come to pass in and to this generation. So, don't count Rush, don't count Russia out, my friend. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and it will be tomorrow. Man will be wrong time and time and time again. God is never wrong. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows, the arrows, these things of war, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. What does it mean, 7 years? This is an overall prophecy. The word years is not really years in the Hebrew. It means 7 periods of time. I counted it off for you, 7 days. 7 periods of days for God, which is to say what? The burying, which is to say to do away with flesh bodies and walk into the eternity, is 7,000 years. 4,000 years before Christ, 2,000 years after Christ is 6,000. The word millennium means 1,000 years. That makes 7. And it will take 7,000 years in this earth age to do away with the dead, which is to say those that are spiritually dead and have no right nor reason to exist, and their souls shall perish in the lake of fire. That is a prophecy. It is done, and that is the day that our Father has spoken of. And that message shall go forth. Nothing is new. There is nothing new under the sun, my friend. Though men may think there are great changes, it was written all the time. And you were taught from this pulpit that these things would come to pass, that one worldism would be a reality. And many snuffed at the truth, and yet today they live as the peace agreements go on and on and on. And only God could cause the Palestinians and the Israelis to sit down at one table and talk. And what was the ingredient, or what was the emulsifier that God used to bring that to pass? The United States of America, the free world, our allies, our neighbors that make up NATO, that the strength and the power, along with Rush, yes, Esau and Jacob, that made these talks start. They'll pick back up about the 7th of January back here in the good old U.S. of A. again. And they will continue at God's pace and in His time. We will call that year 1992. 1,000 in the year of our Lord, 1,992. 1992. That's 8 years away from 2000. My, how time flies. Well, we'll still be belting out His Word, His Scriptures. We'll always be right, for His Word is always right. For it is not the Word of man, but it is the Word of God. God's never wrong. Oh, some men misunderstand the Word of God and teach it in an incorrect way by taking a little Scripture here and a little Scripture there and adding their own words in between and coming to their own conclusion, or perhaps better said, make God's Scriptures fit their plan, not God's plan. So there's nothing new about that either. That's been going on. Poor old Jeremiah had as much trouble with it as anybody. They were all saying, it's going to be over in 2 years. You know, but God had already spoken, and it was 70, and it took 70, not two. Those people that were saying it was 2 years even said, God told me so. God spoke to me this morning. I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. God spoke. And they burned just like the rest. They were liars, false prophets. God said, hey, I don't even know them. They're so ignorant. I don't even know them. So listen to your Father's Word. It's true. You can always count on it. Beloved, don't you know that's where your foundation is? Because it never shakes. It cannot be shaken. For He is the author and the finisher. He is the foundation that never lets you fall. He is the rock on which you build, and no storm can shake you. Stay on that rock, especially in this year to come. I had to spend this time with you to let you know how proud of you I am, you doers of God's Word. My, what a mighty army God's putting together. An army of doers, and you're part of it. We're all equal, and God blesses His children. And we are indeed blessed, for our fruit and our barns run over in souls that have been joined to it. And that's where we count our value, is souls that know and are concerned with the Word of God. All right. It's going to be a blessed year coming up. Hey, don't worry about anything, and of all, don't be depressed. It would show your ignorance of God's Word that it's steaming forward, and God, true to His Word, touches His children and alleviates any depression as He brings forth and builds an army of champions. And you're there. Yep. You're living right in the middle of it. Oh, how I love you for loving His Word. Always remember, every day's a good day when you stay in His Word, for Jesus Christ is the living Word.